And we are live. This is Dark Journalist. It's fantastic to be here. It's a huge crowd already, and I see some really great familiar faces out there. We have an explosive episode for you tonight for the X-Steganography series number 51. And we are going to start off by saying hello to the lovely Olivia.
Hi, everybody.
And Olivia, you and I have been through something rather interesting the past couple of weeks when we've moved the studio.
Yes, we have.
Now, reasonably enough, we've only moved it about 5 minutes away, but I had to move basically a decade's worth of everything.
Yes.
And every kind of electronic gizmo. And I guess you could call me kind of an electronics hoarder.
Most definitely.
So it's fantastic to have most of that process done. So we're coming to you live now from Cambridge. And it was quite interesting, the whole process, because, you know, in part of it, I'd find something like, I don't know, my first interview with Paul Hellyer, the defense minister from Canada, and Olivia would come crashing through the door like, you know,
my power drill.
And be like, do you want me to take that door off the hinge? Are we ready to move this? So very different styles.
Yes.
There, but we made it through, and the move job was really something quite unique. So it's great to have it.
Glad it is over.
Up and running, yes.
Yes.
No question about it.
And it has seemed like a very long time indeed. Don't you think?
It's quite remarkable. And it's good because we had ended off on episode 50 with Gigi Young, and I see Gigi out there. It's great to have her here. And we ran the Farrell episode in between while we were moving, and it was Farrell on Dr. Joseph Farrell on the moon and all the interesting anomalies around that and his attributions of some of the technology that was used to the Nazi Bell. Quite an interesting episode, but quite interesting timing, because just a few days later, I'll point this out, suddenly Vice President Pence says we're in a new space race. And we're in a new space race with China and Russia, apparently, out of the blue. And we're going to land a man on the moon in 2024. Let's think about that. It's only 52 years since we were there last, once you get to 2024. That's all well and good, but what happened to the 50 years of moon shots in between? It seems a little bit odd, don't you think? I mean, 50-year vacation from a project? I'd say it's a little unusual, Olivia. What do you make of that?
It's very unusual.
I definitely agree. So what we're going to do in the second half of the program, of course, is take your questions. And so make them all in caps for Olivia, and she's going to arrange them in only the way that she can.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to all those in part two of the episode. We have a very interesting topic tonight, because it is always rising here in the news and in the media, especially when it relates to the topic of the UFO file, and that is the CIA interference in the process of that information getting out to the public. Now, we have a major, and I mean major, push by a company called To the Stars Academy. We've heard a lot about it, headed up by CIA agents predominantly, and Tom DeLong, who is what we call the Bobo, who's been placed in the middle of it. And the Bobo is actually, it's from a very interesting study that I'm going to get into from 1962, and it's something that the CIA sponsored. And it's a way that they could get information by kind of putting somebody out there to act as the patsy while they assemble these things in the background. But the character that we're going to draw from the most tonight is the one who's being featured in the History Channel show, by, you know, it's a TTSA History Channel show, and it's executive produced by DeLong, so it's basically their show, and the History Channel bought it. And the History Channel, they call this unidentified, and I'm going to really get into this because they're calling it unidentified Inside America's UFO investigation. Well, I can tell you, you know, the CIA has nothing to do with America's UFO investigation. If anything, it's a complete whitewash, and it's only being put out there, you know, this kind of phony disclosure in order to serve their interests and those who control the intelligence agencies. And the intelligence agencies and who they roll out are quite interesting in this case. This is a little more bald-faced approach, I would say, and there's going to be some explosive information in tonight's report regarding Luis Elizondo, the counterintelligence agent that is now the front man for the TTSA, and in general, the deception around To the Stars Academy. You know, basically enough is enough. Last year, I did a series of reports on these guys, and I think everyone hoped that they would clean up their act including using Mylar balloons as UFOs in their presentations. And even some of their own supporters were surprised by these types of activities. But when they came back very unapologetically, the latest thing is that they just say, hey, we'll do these interviews. We'll go on these programs, like a backup Coast to Coast AM host said, well, DeLong is going to come on my show, but he told me he won't talk about any of the controversies. So what good is that? So obviously these guys are obfuscating the way that the intelligence agencies are real good at obfuscating. And when I say that we're looking at CIA disclosure when it comes to TTSA, that's not a mean-spirited comment, when it's not a personal comment, it's a fact. And just to prove that to you tonight, I'm going to go through the CIA officers who are in charge of the TTSA according to their own records. So this is an intelligence operation to co-opt the UFO file and make it into a public entertainment nuisance, basically. And God knows what they want to roll out in relation to this a few years down the road. This is the time to stop it and expose it so people can see it for what it is. And then if they choose to buy into CIA disclosure, well, then it's up to them. But it's not going to go by without some kind of a regular challenge. I think that's reasonable enough. And I want to remind everyone that you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. Everyone should go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for our newsletter. The newsletter is the best way for us to stay in touch. There's been so many things going on in the past couple of weeks in relation to censorship, and it's just beyond the pale. And so in terms of these networks, like YouTube, like Facebook, like Twitter, they're not that reliable in this sense. So the best way for us to stay in touch is for you guys to join via that newsletter. So go ahead and do that. It's free. And basically, you just get an update about once a week, letting you know which guests are coming up, which shows we're going to do, and which X series that we're on. So tonight's X series 51, is CIA and the UFO file. And this is over a 70-year history of these guys controlling, manipulating, and in some cases using lethal force to keep that wall of secrecy in place. I've elected two groups, a description of two groups inside of the national security state. One of them is X-Protect, which is largely aligned with the CIA. And they spend a lot of time and effort intimidating and discrediting witnesses over the years when they wanted to keep it boxed in. And we're going to show some of those examples tonight. The other group that I've identified is X-Share, which is a different type of group and usually comes into the fore more by the political process. So we can, definitely JFK and people of this ilk were more of the X-Share. That is, share the information about the X-Technology, share the information that's in the UFO file, find a way to do it, a safe way to do it, and a responsible way to do it. But the X-Protect has basically used the might is right approach, and the wall of secrecy is the only way to live, and anyone who threatens that wall of secrecy gets discredited, or worse, shall we say. So we need to get to the very core of the CIA and their relationship to the UFO file and the very nature of this extra constitutional agency, which even the people who set it up had great misgivings about. We're going to do all that tonight. I'm going to consolidate it as best I can and tie it into what's happening with TTSA, which is a long laundry list of CIA officers. I want to run through that list because they've made the jump to this History Channel thing. Of course, on December 16th, 2017, we had the beginning of this kind of false disclosure narrative coming through Harry Reid and the New York Times, two very unreliable sources. But nonetheless, it was a major story, and it was promoted by Leslie Kean, who wrote it, and there were a couple of other people who wrote it with her. But she, of course, is a very established UFO author. And I've noticed that there's a few of these people like George Knapp and like Leslie Kean who have had impeccable careers in relation to the UFO file, but somehow getting involved with this end of the CIA Elizondo thing has clouded their judgment. And I hope that this episode will help clarify that for them, because they stand to lose a lot of that prestige that they've held up 30 years by embracing a CIA project. And I don't want to see that happen. So let's start off with the narrative that I call it the sad CIA guy narrative. Remember this? This is how it was.
He's so deep.
He's sad. So this is Luis Elizondo, who supposedly came rolling out of the Pentagon saying, oh, I'm so upset, you know, that the Pentagon won't reveal UFOs. I'm out of here, you know. And oh, by the way, I found out 10 years ago they weren't going to reveal anything, but I'm still out of here. It only took me 10 years to get out. Elizondo is a remarkable counterintelligence asset and officer. As a matter of fact, he's a senior counterintelligence officer. That means he's an incredibly good liar, because by the nature of counterintelligence, it's all about, can a country come in here, you know, that's trying to do surveillance on us and trying to do reconnaissance on us and get the wrong story, and therefore we save the day. There's so many examples of this in history. One of the greatest examples of counterintelligence is when during World War II, we had faked out this totally different location with plastic tanks and all this other stuff so that the Nazis would think we were landing somewhere totally different instead of on Normandy on D-Day. And the truth is that we certainly have a situation, a need for counterintelligence. I don't think there's any question about that, and a need for spycraft. That's not what we're debating here. It's when that process of counterintelligence gets turned on the public, especially in relation to a subject like the UFO file and the things that we deal with very actively in the independent media, which now the mainstream media is trying to co-opt and do their own way without working toward it. And one of the things that you keep hearing from people in TTSA is, let's start the conversation. Well, the conversation has been going on basically since 1947, when everybody started seeing these things everywhere, probably longer, frankly. So you guys with a TV show and a bunch of CIA agents aren't starting anything. Okay, let's start with that. Second of all, by the very sloppy rollout of this UFO operation in 2017, and then this weird rollout of DeLong on the Joe Rogan show, where he just fell apart. Those guys withdrew, and they even said at one point, you know, DeLong put out a thing like, I'm going back to what I do best, and that's music. And obviously, the co-op, it just wasn't going right. Elizondo himself ran into a lot of trouble because his narrative was very fishy, to say the least. And the more people would dig into what he was up to during this period when he was talking about this program, which they called ATIP, Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, which, again, they say has something to do with the UFO file. There's nothing on the record, and of course, John Greenwald from the Black Vault, who studies these things very closely in terms of FOIA requests, is usually the first man out the door in relation to this. He's gone on record saying that there's nothing, and literally nothing, that suggests that ATIP was a UFO program. It's rumored, basically. So all we have is Elizondo's story. So let's take a little look at Elizondo. There's some kind of rather explosive things about Luis Elizondo that we're going to discuss tonight. I'm going to discuss him in relationship to the members of the TTSA. But just so we all know that we're on the same page, I'm going to read a little bit of the bios here of the CIA members of the TTSA. And it's quite remarkable when you look at it, because the high standing positions that they had inside the CIA to just come out blatantly with this kind of entertainment ruse to co-opt the UFO file and make these guys heroes all of a sudden is quite interesting. And I guess before I break into this, Miss Olivia, I should ask you, how's it going out there?
It's going. It's interesting that we've had at least one person not want to listen to any evidence that the TTSA is an op.
Well, don't rock the boat, right?
Well,
that's the way you maintain the narrative.
There's high hopes around this. Could you address that?
Absolutely. Well, think about the high hopes that people had when the CIA said there are WMDs in Iraq. And think about the high hopes that those citizens had about being liberated and instead got depleted uranium in their systems and died. This is what the CIA is famous for. They're a deceptive operation, they're an extra-constitutional force, and they've been found to be in the business of assassination where the government didn't ask for it, and they've been found in the business of assassinating and discrediting presidents that they haven't been in favor of. So in terms of UFO disclosure, they are probably about as far away from the group that you want to trust with the UFO file as you can get, and certainly with the public trust around the idea of the UFO file. Of course, they control a great deal of the UFO file, but they'll always keep the real stuff hidden from the public. It's the nature of the beast. So, yeah, it's not about busting anybody's bubble about disclosure, but, you know, when I hear that sometimes, they're like, well, it's better than nothing, you know, like, what solution do you have? That's kind of like a guy saying, look, I know this isn't a good cure for cancer and what they're advertising is false, but it gives me hope. And so, you know, I have to say that when I get into that kind of logic, I think there's a kind of psychosis in there. And that's the kind of desperate point of view that they take advantage of, saying like, hey, all your dreams are going to come true and these UFO projects are going to release free energy. It doesn't work like that. They do things on their own clock. I mean, they didn't even make marijuana available, and they still don't in a number of states. In Massachusetts, it just became available within the last 6 months. So that's how deeply they control these things. But yeah, I think, I mean, I do understand, I guess, the mentality that, hey, everything's going to go hunky-dory. But when you do journalism, it's different than doing entertainment or a fluff show like a coast-to-coast type thing. What we're after is the truth. We're not after, you know, making anybody look bad. We're not after making any false judgments. What we're after are just the facts on the ground. And I can give you lots of facts in relation to this. Let's start with these. CDIA members of the TTSA. Does that cover it, Miss Olivia?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Just make sure we're on the same page. All right. Let's start with these CIA members of TTSA. Jim Semivan. Here's a quick bio. Senior Intelligence Service member of the CIA. Senior intelligence. That's high-ranking level. That's not a basic agent. That's not a mid-level guy. He's a senior official. Dr. Hal Puthoff, CIA advisor for over 40 years. Long-standing. We know a lot of projects that Puthoff has been involved in, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Hal Puthoff and the work that he's done, but he's a CIA person. He's a CIA guy. Luis Elizondo, career intelligence officer, CIA special agent. We're going to talk about that too. Who's his boss at the CIA? John Brennan. What's John Brennan famous for? John Brennan was known as the Drone King. Even his own party was nervous about this guy because he was the kind of guy who, as CIA director, wanted to drone people at a wedding party to get one guy in Afghanistan. So you have these 50 people celebrating a wedding and they get droned. And he says, well, it's the cost of doing business. We got our guy. But what happens indeed is that you create this other nest of terrorists because they're all outraged that their families were killed. This is who basically we call the Drone King. He became known as that even in the Obama administration because everybody was nervous about this guy and his predilection to go after and just shoot out these drones anytime he thought there was a terrorist nearby. And they'd make that scale wider and wider. And when they got, you know, civilian casualties, they say, oh, it's collateral damage, you know. So this is the nature of the mentality of these people. Some people would say, well, you need real cold warriors like that. But some people might also say we've had quite enough of them. And especially when it comes to space, you don't want them up there. If they want to make space a warfighting domain with that type of an attitude, it's very, very dangerous. And I have to say, in relation to the CIA, there are so many studies from people like Seymour Hersh, my extensive interviews with Peter Dale Scott, his work on the deep state, it's all there. It's been documented over 70 years. The CIA is a force that's out of control and needs limits. It does not need a leg up in the UFO field, especially. And the fundamental researchers in the UFO field never, ever, ever would want, whenever the CIA was around, they always ran in the other direction. It's very disturbing to me to see an entertainment company come in and convince them that the CIA is A-OK. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. We're on episode 51 and of the X Steganography series. In the X series, we actually track the X and the way that it moves through these secret government agencies and the projects that are associated with it. And the TTSA, and the allusion over and over again to the secret technology that the CIA has, is sort of a dangle around this idea of the X technology. We're going to get into what that's all about. I want to keep rolling with the CIA roster because this is important, I think, to get on the ground. CIA member TTSA, Steve Justice. Well, actually, this guy is particularly interesting because he's Lockheed Martin program director. Again, very high level. Program director is off the charts. Lockheed Martin, there's a great story that Catherine Austin Fitz tells, the former housing secretary, in relation to trying to get records around this missing money from the government. And she found over and over again that the people who were controlling that were Lockheed Martin, who are a military contractor now gone into aerospace. There are so many people who, when they do this type of research, they get very hardcore blowback from Lockheed Martin. So Lockheed becomes one of these companies that's known for its lack of transparency. And so I think when we're looking at them, we have to really keep that in mind, that when they show up on the scene, we know that we're in the United States of Lockheed. Forget about the Constitution and all the rest of it. All right, next up, Christopher Mellon. Christopher Mellon is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence in both the Clinton and Bush administrations. This guy took a really big role with the TTSA. Again, these intelligence figures are known for hiding things. So they're far from being, you know, the kind of princes of disclosure or transparency. It's quite the opposite. What they're good at, especially a senior counterintelligence officer, is they're good at obfuscation. They're good at deception. And this is what we're going to take apart piece by piece tonight as we move along. Let's keep going down the rap sheet with Dr. Paul Rapp. His past honors include a certificate of commendation for the CIA for significant contributions to the mission of the Office of R&D. He's a very advanced guy. Dr. Norm Kahn, 30-year career with CIA, culminating in his development and direction of the intelligence community counter-biological weapons program. Okay, this guy is an arc scientist of WMDs, basically. What are these guys doing around the UFO file? What are they doing with, you know, the Tom DeLonge hangout with an entertainment company that's being plugged in now by Disney's History Channel? What's going on? What was the kind of pseudo-disclosure that we got in relation to Harry Reid, the New York Times, and DeLonge? And this involved Bigelow Aerospace also. We're going to really boil this down. And I think the best way that we're going to do it is to show the kind of where some of the seeds of this come from, which will take us back to the 2016 presidential election. And this was, as you remember, Miss Olivia, Trump and Hillary. Mm-hmm. And this was quite the hoedown. And the whole country was torn apart over it and all the rest of it.
And still is.
And still is, absolutely. We just saw with the Mueller report, of course, that so many of the things that were bandied about Russian collusion and Putin controlled the election, were all fake. and that we can see the CIA's role, again, interfering with the presidency. Like it or not, whether you like Trump or not, the CIA and their role trying to take down a sitting president is something that they only know too well, but it's not in their mandate, you know, and they don't have that kind of control. They're an agency. So in essence, what we're talking about is something that should have really only the power of the FDA. I mean, they're just simply an agency. This idea that they are the head of the sprawling thing, have their own Air Force and their own programs, or that they can do domestic surveillance in the United States is in error. It's illegal, and it goes against their mandate, and they're only able to do it because of certain loopholes that they've been able to get around. We have to keep that in mind when we hear people like DeLonge saying, well, these CIA guys are heroes, and they've been fighting the evil. You know, they've been fighting these evil demons and UFOs. And, you know, my conversations with Catherine Austin Fitz around her research into the missing money, what has she said? She has said, it looks like a smokescreen to say, you know what, forget about those missing trillions. We were fighting these bad aliens. And that could be exactly what they're trying to create here with this scenario with DeLonge, who's being rolled out as the Bobo in charge of all this. Okay, so I'm going to roll into the 2016 election. And as I do that, Miss Olivia, I'm going to ask you to check the boards and see what's going on.
Well, Zora Dax had a question I wanted to ask you. Yes. She says, I want to know more about the metamaterials, or whatever they call it, that Bigelow has in Las Vegas. Are you going to be addressing that tonight?
Yeah, actually, I have a few little bombshells in relation to that. Largely, it's smokescreen. But what I do think is interesting is that they mentioned it in just casually in the New York Times article, like, hey, they have these metamaterials, Bigelow, they're studying them, and they came from UFOs. Trust me, if that stuff existed, it would be heavily classified, you know, and it wouldn't be just something that somebody would casually roll out. Part of a sad CIA guy Elizondo's TV show, you know, him running around with these little boxes saying, ooh, I solved the mystery. Okay.
Actually, I'm going to ask a question right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask it to the entire audience, is why does anyone think that the CIA is ever going to give you the truth? That's not their mandate. That's not what they do.
Well, you know, you've really made me jump to this. So I'm glad you mentioned that, actually. Let's look at a few investigations in relation to the CIA and their lack of transparency. Okay. This one, I'm going to start in 75 and move my way up. New York Times. Okay, this is a CIA panel. This is where they looked into the CIA's activities over the course of a decade. CIA panel finds plainly unlawful acts that improperly invaded American rights. That's a New York Times article from 1975. Here's the blurb on it. The Central Intelligence Agency has conducted a vast network of unlawful or uncontrolled domestic operations that resulted in the creation of files on 300,000 individuals and organizations, mail openings, wiretapping, room bugging, burglaries, extensive monitoring of overseas telephone calls, secret drug testing, and infiltration of American political groups, according to the report. Now, and that's just for starters. This is a group, this is an entity that likes to see itself as its own government, basically, not accountable, and that they can hide behind the wall of secrecy and get away with these things because they have so much power. Now, we know that it became central during the end of the Eisenhower administration to get a handle on the CIA, especially in relation to the UFO file. We've covered this extensively in the X series, very extensively. And one of the things I think it's important to note in relation to John F. Kennedy is he came in basically with the mandate from Eisenhower saying, get your hands back on this. This is crucial. And with that help. And of course, Kennedy evinced a great interest in the UFO file, having been close friends with the first Secretary of Defense. And he went into it with eyes wide open. And at a certain point in the late 60s, in the year of 1963, he asked for the UFO file to be shared. And he asked the CIA directly for the high threat cases. And this is what gets us into the big problem with the coup d'etat that takes place. Now, I think there's a lot of different, you know, there's the official version of that story, with Oswald, who just happens to be lucky enough to be hanging out in that building, which is
how convenient.
Yeah. And over the years, we've seen the real truth roll out over time. And we know that over 70% of Americans do not believe the official story of Oswald with an old gun who just happened to get that job 6 weeks before the president's motorcade rolls by it. And who, you know, as it turns out, was deeply involved with the Central Intelligence Agency anyway. So he was their Bobo. They've upgraded their methods since then. But one of the things I think is interesting here is in relation to the UFO, let's take a quick look now, a little walk down memory lane for our CIA viewers. The CIA covered up the truth about UFOs for decades. That's the New York Post, on record, that they covered it up. Now, one of the things that they try to say was that, you know, oh, you know what? Sure, Area 51 exists. That came out in records, but no UFOs. This is where they were at in 2015 before the TTSA op and all the CIA people dropped in there. Something changed, and it had to do with that election because they thought Hillary was going to get into office. And we're going to get into exactly how that rolled. One of the things that the CIA wanted to say was, hey, you know what? It was just us. You see this plane? This is what people misidentified as UFOs. Patently false, of course. Let's go a little bit deeper. CIA about UFOs in the 50s and 60s, they actually blatantly say it was us. So now here they are rolling out the TTSA and saying, let's get into this, you know, we're going to get to the truth, and here's all our CIA people to get to the UFO truth. When back here in 2015, they're saying it was us. We did it. We fooled the American people for 70 years. But it was all just us testing stuff. And they also said it was basically the U2 that did it all. Well, these are all the shapes. Let's see if this picks up. Yeah, that's pretty good. These are all the different shapes of actual UFOs. Any of those things look like a U2? I mean, they don't. They look like completely different craft, and none of them look, some of them look similar here, but they're all very different. And we also, they don't look anything.
That's going up on the wall when this episode is over. It looks great.
It is looking pretty good. But, you know, they're recorded all over the world, and they all have these certain characteristics, but they are far from the U2. So this is, the CIA is willing to lie publicly, and then the media, even the media, who's locked up with the intelligence agencies, calls them out occasionally because they have to, because they are such blatant liars that in order to shake the truth out of them, you have to come back at them hard. And what's interesting is another New York Times article from 1997. CIA admits government lied about UFO sightings. This is 97. And government is funny. CIA admits government, basically themselves. CIA admits CIA lied about UFOs. I'm going to read a little bit of this. And here's their narrative, which is, you know, we had to do it because we were at war, baby, and it was okay to lie. You know how that works. In the darkest days of the Cold War, the military lied to the American public about the true nature of many unidentified flying objects in an effort to hide its growing fleet of spy planes, a Central Intelligence Agency study says. The deceptions were made in the 50s and 60s amid a wave of UFO sightings that alarmed the public and parts of official Washington. The CIA studies says the Air Force knew that most reports by citizens and aviation experts were based on fleeting glimpses of the U-2 and SRC 71 spy planes, which fly extremely high. The planes were developed in the 50s and 60s to photograph enemy targets from secret bases. Okay, so what they're saying is, you know, we lied, but we had good reason to, because they were seeing our planes. What could we do? But anyway, the point is they lied. And they're trying to say that, you know, all the sightings were related to the SR-71 of the U-2 when there were all these different crafts seen. And by the way, some of the crafts were seen way, way before the CIA was even developed. So, you know, that doesn't add up. There's, you know, it's a complete lie. And then the explanation, it's like after when you say, oh, I was lying to you, but then here's another lie on top of it. So it's like a lie sandwich, or what you call it, a lie sundae. It's just a little extra fudge. Have a little extra fudge on your lie. So we go into this, you know, it gets into this idea that like, oh, you know, just like during Roswell, those were just crash test dummies. But, you know, we had to keep that secret because it was Operation Mogul, and it was this great balloon that could detect nuclear explosions or whatever. It's like, yeah, but how does that, you know, what about all the wreckage when these things crash, or all the stories that are embedded, or all the photographs and all the film work? It doesn't add up. So now, after 70 years of stonewalling, they've decided that we can't stonewall anymore, especially if we want to go into space. We have space tourism. We have obligations to these companies. The people, when they go up there for space tourism, they're going to be seeing these craft. What are we going to do? We're going to co-opt the story. We're going to say, we're the heroes. We're bringing it out. We're going to get our best counterintelligence people, like Luis Elizondo. We're going to roll him out with a story. What's his story? Oh, I'm sad. I'm upset. I want to get the truth out. I'm such a counterintelligence sad man. So, how do you do this? It's a tricky thing because you've been lying for 70 years. How do you get out of a 70-year lie? Also, if people dig deep enough, they're going to find your own illegal programs like assassination programs, drug running. Many committees have convicted you of that. So, you know, former Secretary of State John Kerry, in the 1980s, he went on record with his committee in Washington saying, look, CIA funneled drugs into the country to fund the Contras. And that's where you got those crack epidemics and all the rest of it. And we know that the Dark Alliance and all of the things that came out of his book and what he was talking about, all of these things are part of the history of what the CIA has done and committed. And suddenly what we have instead is kind of like the homeland version of CIA. It's like the cool guys and, you know, that they've given us the truth and they're the hardcore dudes. And now the TTSA is rolling out that story. It's patently absurd, and I'm going to show you why. I'll remind you, you're watching the Dark Journalist program. We are on episode 51 of the X Steganography series. And I want to remind everyone to go ahead and sign up for our newsletter at darkjournalist.com. This is important because the incredible clampdown on websites, social media, and all the rest of it, right or left, it doesn't matter. They go after Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on vaccines. And they boot Alex Jones in the same heartbeat. It's because the central thing that's navigating, that wants to control the narrative, that has incredible resources in the media, as we've seen through 2 years of Russiagate, which is a completely fake, fraudulent story, with Rachel Maddow up there, you know, making $1 million a show, lying her head off with fake information. Now, I want to bring something into this, which is one of the key people who pushed the Russiagate story, which was that Putin was in cahoots and controlling Trump like a puppet. And again, regardless of whether you think what you think of Trump, good or bad, the idea of the CIA removing him from the presidency with a fake story so that they could get a new war going with Russia and more defense funding is pretty, you know, it's pretty beyond the pale. And it's something that we haven't seen where all those Democrats, you know, and they turned into weird McCarthyites from the 50s doing a Red Scare, when in truth, liberal Democrats used to really defend people who reached out to other countries. And in particular, the red baiting, they were so against. But the neocon crowd has moved in to liberal politics. And so you have the neocon liberals and their outlets like MSNBC, who are largely war profiteers, controlled largely by the Council on Foreign Relations. So when we get into that, we have to understand their motivations. But one person who kept showing up over and over again was kind of fascinating. And indeed, it was John Brennan, who was the former CIA director. Brennan's interesting for a number of reasons, but what is most important for our story tonight, and for what kind of report that we're giving you, is that Brennan was Luis Elizondo's boss. So the Drone King was who Elizondo answered to in his CIA duties. He was the CIA director under Obama. And when Elizondo, the dates that he was claiming for what he did for ATIP, another interesting person I want to introduce in this fashion is when Elizondo says that he worked for the National Intelligence Director. He never comes out and says which one it was, but I've deduced, because Clapper was the National Intelligence Director under Obama, that this is the person, and he may have had a relationship here also, because Clapper was an Air Force, senior Air Force intelligence. And so when we look at Clapper and we see him moving up to National Intelligence Director and Elizondo serving as the National Intelligence Director, I think we're going to find an Air Force connection going deep into this whole story about Elizondo and his whole thing about, you know, hey, UFOs are real. Now, you know, our position on this show is that the UFO file is certainly a vital aspect, and that we've looked very hard into those connections and gone all the way back to Vannevar Bush controlling the UFO file in the 1940s. So the UFO file occupies a very important station in this whole kind of geopolitical intrigue that's going on. And certainly the alien aspect of that, the off-world civilization aspect of that, is important. But so is this kind of just ex-technology aspect of it. And this is really what we're getting into the heart of, and how these guys kind of manipulate this story. Now, one of the things that Mr. Elizondo is fond of saying is that he was running this program, ATIP, during a certain period of time there, And 2012 comes right into the corridor of that timeline. But in fact, just a little review of his past gives you that in 2009 and 2010, he's actually running a shipping company with a partner here. And it raises the question, if you were running a UFO program, how are you running a shipping company at the same time? Okay, it's in Kent Island in Maryland, but the dates don't add up unless you're running the shipping company simultaneously while doing this incredibly important work of ATIP for the government. There's no good answers on that because whenever he goes on these shows, he gets all the softball questions because that's the nature of the environment that we have. It's not very good. It's not robust journalism in relation to this. This is the name of the company that he was running. It was called Never Ship Empty. And it is, in fact, a Maryland corporation that he ran in those same years that he claims to have been running the ATIP program. Now, don't get me wrong, of course, Mr. Elizondo was involved with the Central Intelligence Agency. He definitely was in the Pentagon. He was definitely working for the Office of the Secretary of Defense. Those things are not in question. But the timelines he gives around this program, ATIP, and its relation to, you know, UFO secrets, supposedly, are definitely in question. And one thing that I found interesting in terms of his background working for John Brennan, who was the CIA director under Obama, aka the Drone King, was that right when he came out with all this, his buddy was backing him up all the way. And what was he saying? Suddenly, out of the blue, this former CIA director was coming out and saying, keep studying those UFOs. He's on board with it. Yeah. So now we're starting to get that kick there, the CIA consolidation around the UFO file idea. This makes a lot more sense now that we get the connection with Brennan and Elizondo. Things add up a lot more. How about good, steady questions to someone like Elizondo? So if I were like a George Knapp or one of these guys, I'd sit down with Elizondo and say to him, look, what exactly is your relationship to the Central Intelligence Agency now? You know, he says, oh, I'm out of these programs and I'm fighting and all the rest of it. And he's saying, oh, I risked my pension. I did all these things. It's the sad CIA guy story. But in fact, is he still a contractor with the Central Intelligence Agency? Is there a background op that he's still involved with? And is he willing to go on the record and say no? These are the tough questions that he hasn't been asked. Even the traditional liberal outlets when it came to John Brennan, by the way, were very upset that Brennan was the CIA director. Here we have meet John Brennan, Obama's drone czar and nominee for CIA director. And these are coming up in stories like Newsweek, you know, hardly conservative publications. So we can see that even on their own side, they had a lot of questions about where Brennan was coming from. The Brennan-Elizondo connection in relation to the UFO file has to be explored deeply. We've done it on this program, but we're going to go a lot deeper with that. Because John Brennan now showing up trying to get Trump out of office may actually be related directly to this control of the UFO file, which is, remember, also a political football. We had Hillary's team coming in saying, hey, Hillary's all about UAPs and she's going to have UFO disclosure, you know, and they had her looking really ridiculous on these late night shows talking about UFOs. And then we have Trump coming in by surprise and he's saying, this is the Space Force. I'm going in with the Space Force and announcing that the Space Force exists before Congress can even ratify it. I mean, it takes years to get that kind of bureaucracy rolling. So Trump did it as a PR exercise in order to say, look, I'm interested in this too. And we have to also remember that Trump's uncle's deep, deep relationship, as we've covered on this program, to the UFO file. There's a much deeper story going on here. But who's in the middle of the political story with Hillary Clinton and Elizondo? Tom DeLonge and John Podesta. So let's take a look at that a little bit here. And Ms. Olivia, while I find that, how are we doing out there?
Doing great. So Brenda Fisher asks, are they trying to set the stage for a hoax alien invasion?
Well, you know, this Project Blue Beam idea has been out there for a long time. And there's no question that we've had the warnings that this was something that they were going to do from people inside. The idea for me is that certainly when they introduced the threat idea, when they kept saying that word threat, when they were talking about ATIP, they didn't want to talk so much and say, oh, there's, you know, an off-world civilization operating out there. What they wanted to say was there's an anomalous thing out there and it's a threat. Therefore, we need government funding for a program, and et cetera, et cetera.
It's just about the money.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So now a power grab, that kind of an ultimate power grab of going for the alien invasion scenario, it would require a lot of logistics on the ground being locked down. But I would not put it past an agency like this to pull off a massive kind of false flag in that sense, which is why we need to, what is so much missing from the TTSA aspect when we hear about it, the To the Stars Academy, when you see it in the news, is the lack of discussion around the CIA presence inside the corporation. This is a CIA corporation. It has to be understood. We have the fluffy guy on top, the zany guy who acts like he sniffed too much glue, right? You know, DeLong coming out and he can't talk about anything. He may be a very nice guy, but he's the Bobo that they're using for this. Then you have Elizondo, who has his story, right? But those Hollywood scriptwriters writing this stuff. Elizondo rolls out and he says, oh, I'm so depressed. I'm so upset. I'm angry at my superiors. I had to leave my job after staying there for 10 years. and now he's the guy who's saying everyone needs to wake up to UFOs, but he's a CIA counterintelligence agent. So therefore, if he doesn't have any proof for what he's talking about, except for the fact that he worked in the Pentagon and the CIA, then he should be ultimately suspect, especially if there's no documentation backing up his story that ATIP was a UFO program. We've looked at people like the Black Vaults, John Greenwald. We've had him on the program, of course, and we'll have him back on. He's been doing some interviews recently, but he did a particularly good podcast on this, saying that basically the UFO aspect of ATIP is just rumored. There's nothing. There's no paper trail. There's no defense official who said that's a UFO program. And you could say, well, they would cover it up, you know. Look, I mean, we've had programs like the Robertson Panel and Blue Book. People know about them, you know. So this idea that, oh, he's, you know, Elizondo's the breakthrough, and this is, you know, a conversation that we can finally begin to have. I mean, go into the work of Stanton Friedman. John Mack was a Harvard professor talking about the UFO file. These are people who were like on Oprah. I mean, you know, like he was bringing the conversation home then. These guys are just, it's a CIA operation working for an entertainment
company. Yeah, can I just interrupt
here?
I'll tell you, the thing that annoys the hell out of me is that if you want to tell the truth, if you want to disclose something, say it. You know, there doesn't need to be, what did they do? They did some sort of, what was the money thing that they did? The fundraising for, you know, just open your mouth, hold a press conference and say it.
Yeah.
Right? There doesn't need to be a big production around it if you are a true whistleblower.
Well,
this
no,
is
you
simple.
Have to do it through a History Channel TV
yeah,
show.
Yeah, you don't need a TV show. You need money for a documentary or for branding
all right, one press
and a logo.
To take it. Yeah, nice. Nicely done. Well, I have a few quotes that I thought were particularly interesting from Elizondo, and they're going to come back in a very interesting, echoey kind of way here. I remind everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show live from our new studio. And it's great to have everyone here. It's a huge crowd. And it's fantastic that we're getting into this because, frankly, since I did my reports last year, I did one report on January 1st, 2018 on TTSA with Gigi Young, actually, where I went into the deeper aspects like we are tonight. And I think people really got it. And I think it really kind of it cast a lot of questions out there that other people picked up on, and I was happy about that. And I did not really, you know, I kept a close eye on those guys, but I didn't do many reports on them after the fact of doing those two or three initial reports because they went pretty deep. And I felt like people, you know, especially with the Mylar balloon fiasco and some of the other things of the story that weren't adding up, and then DeLong's disastrous performance, I thought, you know, this thing is kind of on its own way. But now they've come back, and they've come back with new funding, with a new CIA plan, with the History Channel program, unidentified. And so we have to address it. You know, it's essential in terms of getting that kind of transparency. When the CIA is operative around the UFO file, it's like, it's all hands on deck, in my opinion. And I welcome anyone who wants to get in deep on this. Here's a couple of quotes on that. Yes, Ms. Olivia.
Nothing. I just, you know, whenever I think about the CIA and telling the truth, I think, We're experiencing I think of the community almost like an abused wife, right? Who's had a cheating husband,
yeah.
And it happens again and again, and lies and deception and lies and deception. No, honey, this time I'm really telling you the truth. At what point do you just say enough is enough? This person is a liar. This person is not trustworthy, and I'm not going to believe a word they say. But no, we still keep falling for it.
Well, I do feel that it's interesting because on one hand, you want an inside military person to come out and give that information. You know, people are all into this whistleblower idea, but we've seen a lot of the whistleblowers fall apart in the past few years. So this is kind of another approach, which is let's really put some brass of the CIA out there and see if that bites. The problem is when you look at people like Knapp or Leslie Kahn or all these people who kind of rolled out the red carpet for Elizondo, they made their bones, they made their career on resisting the government cover-up on UFOs that was led by the CIA. How can they embrace it now? It doesn't make sense. And you understand it goes to a kind of almost entertainment agenda, and it says basically, you know, that because they're going to kind of join up with this movement, that they don't have to criticize it, that they don't have to ask the questions. Now look, this guy, our friend, DeLong, comes out, who I've had a long history of doing reports on, or at least dating back to 2015. He comes out and he says to this backup host for Coast to Coast, yeah, I'm going to come on your show, but I'm not going to talk about any of the controversies. So you're not going to talk about the CIA role in the company, and you're not going to talk about Elizondo's inconsistent comments or all the other lies around TTSA. What kind of journalism in that case, stay home. You know, don't open the Skype session. Don't answer the phone call. What's the point if you're just going to sit there and promote the TV show? I mean, you know, what level of journalism is that? That's a joke. So if anybody falls for that, you know, preemptively, I'm telling them, you know, basically you're falling for the CIA Bobo, you know, and we can do better than a Bobo. That's the quote of the night right there. I'm going to read you a couple of things. Go ahead.
Najat said, are we falling for it or is it entrainment / mind control? Good
well,
point.
Look, when you roll out a CIA counterintelligence person pretending to be a whistleblower with a story that, you know, he's bringing out the truth, and then when he comes forward and says, well, the program was classified, not classified. It was secret, not secret. When he does that kind of tap dancing, even in the language, then you know it's an operation. So therefore, they're going to see how far they can get away with the language. They've tried this a few times. One of the things that he does in particular, Elizondo, and this is something we got from Walter Bosley, is he's good at tap dancing. And tap dancing is an intel term. It means don't say the truth, skirt around it. So if I tell you, you know, he says, I'm risking my life and my career. And then at the same time, he says, oh, I can't tell you things and violate my NDA or I go to jail. Well, if you're not willing to violate your NDA, what are you doing here? Basically, if you can't tell me any of that stuff, why are you at risk for anything? I mean, you mean you're risking your career and your life. How? You won't even violate your NDA. So see, everything that when we get into Elizondo, it's a very interesting case. It's all sound bites. I noticed, and a lot of people directed me, they were like, oh, just listen to his latest lecture there that he gave. And I've listened to that lecture many, many times. The first half hour of the lecture goes like this. It says, oh, I'm not going to tell you what I can't tell you, but I will tell you what I'm going to tell you. And damn it, I'm going to do it no matter who doesn't tell me what to do, what I'm going to say when I say it. I mean, this is circuitous logic and rhetoric. And it just goes round and round, and it seems like conversation. And it's kind of like fast food, because when you're done, you're like, yeah, I think I ate something, but I'm not full. What's going on here? It's very, very unusual. But it's a certain type of approach which says, how do you get out there and talk for 45 minutes without saying anything, but still create the impression that you're a great breakthrough hero around disclosure? This is CIA deception techniques used for UFO disclosure. Got to get over it. Got to get past
that.
This
is counterintelligence.
That's counterintelligence.
101.
Look, Elizondo is a senior counterintelligence officer, veteran. I'm sure he's done great things in that role in relation to Afghanistan or fighting FARC rebels in Colombia and doing drug runs in the Middle East and all the rest of it. But in the UFO file, it's out of place to portray him as a hero for an entertainment company with a TV show. does not advance the ball down the road at all. It helps the UFO file get co-opted by the CIA. That's why anyone who's a good journalist will resist it and blow it away. Because first of all, they're not giving any good answers. Even people who want to get into them and join up with them are like, why is this story so uneven? Let's get into a few details about it. You mentioned something, though, Olivia, about the CIA. Let's take a little walk down CIA memory lane so people understand what the CIA is. And I've had to use this comment a lot when it comes to the TTSA fan people, that you don't know who you're dealing with when you deal with the CIA. So let's give them a little, just a little background. I've spent a long time studying the CIA, but more importantly, I've studied people like Peter Delscott, who understand it from its core, from its development. Catherine Austin Fitz, the development of the secret system of finance, the development of the secret forms of government. This is very important. If that gets lost in this glaze of, hey, the CIA is willing to give us these secrets now, we're worse off, much worse off than we would be 10 years ago. Here's a few things. In his book, David Talbot, who's an expert, he was the editor of Salon for a long time, he's an incredible political author, and he recently suffered a stroke, and we all hope that he gets better because this guy's an amazing voice when it comes to this. But he did a book on Alan Dulles, which is probably one of the best books on Alan Dulles or the CIA that's ever been done. It's called The Devil's Chessboard. Here's some bullet points for CIA activities that are just hardcore represented in the book with hardcore documents. Okay, the CIA, claims of Soviet communist subversion that served to justify the CIA-led coups in Iran and Guatemala were all for intents and purposes fabricated. Can you say WMD, anybody? Threats to the US corporate interests were what really spurred the successful covert operations by the CIA. Absolutely, it's been proven. We know it's a fact. Alan Dulles oversaw a CIA program that conducted extremely dangerous experiments on the human brain. He was interested in finding out whether LSD could be used to program zombie-like saboteurs or assassins. This is Alan Dulles, by the way, who, by the way, as CIA director, Kennedy found so abhorrent that he fired him. But that may have blown back and been the cause in relation to the assassination, one of those moves. That book, The Devil's Chessboard, certainly gives us some aspects. Here's a little bit more for people who are like, well, the CIA, we really need to get on board. There's something called extraordinary rendition. You ready? The CIA's notorious war on terror, practice of kidnapping suspected enemies and turning them over to merciless security machinery of US allies in undisclosed locations. So they grab a guy in one country and they bring him over to a country that doesn't have any kind of human rights so he can be tortured. This actually began in 1956 under Dulles, when a Columbia University academic, Columbia University, American citizen, academic, hostile to Dominican strongman Rafael Trujillo, was flown to the Dominican Republic, tortured, boiled to death, and fed to sharks. Wow. Okay, now, that's Alan Dulles, who was the CIA director for a decade, set the tone for it, wrote the book The Craft of Intelligence that all CIA agents carry. Let's go through that again. In 1956, a Columbian University academic hostile to Dominican strongman Rafael Trujillo, who we were backing, was flown to the Dominican Republic, tortured, boiled to death, and fed to the sharks. You understand who you're dealing with now? Let's try this. Over the final months of the JFK presidency, a clear consensus emerged within Dulles' sinister network of financial intelligence and military associates. Kennedy was a national security threat. For the good of the country, he must be removed. And Dulles was the only man with the stature, connections, and decisive will to make something of that enormity happen. This is from the guy who spent the most time researching it. These are our friends. This is what they're good at. Counterintelligence operations, and basically getting their own agenda completed regardless of the methods that they use. When you see CIA people talking about UFO disclosure, run, don't walk in the other direction. Let's start there. The glamorization of the CIA through programs like Homeland and a lot of these movies that we see come out, miss the fact that our own government has censored them over and over and over again. And let's think about in relation to something more recent, like the Iraq War, something very recent, like Russiagate, they were completely behind that. But the Iraq War, remember, all relied on the fact that George Tenet, who was the CIA director, said to Bush, it's a slam dunk that there are WMDs in Iraq. That's what Colin Powell wound up going to the United Nations to get the order to invade Iraq with, saying, quote, it's a slam dunk. That's what Tenet said to Bush. Well, as it turns out, of course, there were no WMDs in Iraq, and we went in there basically for nothing and spent years of money and treasure to set up a few oil companies. That's the kind of issue that you get into when you start dealing with the central intelligence agencies and their assets on the ground and their motivations. And that's something you really want to keep away from the UFO file. And when you get these UFO characters who are embraced the CIA, it's against the fundamental research communities, whether it was John Mack or Stanton Friedman or any of these guys. And people like, who were kind of my heroes, I think, at a certain point, people like George Knapp. It's incredible, right? The guy who brought out Area 51. Why he, at this late stage in his career, would embrace a CIA operation is stunning to me. I have no explanation for it. I'm amazed. Now, I will say this. When it comes up around people like Elizondo, they're part of an operation. In other words, Elizondo didn't cook this up. He's being put out there and propped up there. And, I'm not saying that, like, DeLong is some mastermind of all this. He's the bobo that the CIA is using. But we have to go into that organization. We have to see this row of CIA people. We have to understand and deal honestly with what the CIA is capable of before we can embrace any kind of UFO information that gets let out because of the people who are letting it out. I think that's pretty legit. So we've dealt in facts here tonight. And there's an interesting quote from Elizondo. He says, I'm not worried about credibility. I'm worried about facts. Well, the facts are, Mr. Elizondo, that you're a senior counterintelligence agent, retired, supposedly, for the CIA. And that your story, as point of fact, about the ATIP program being a UFO program, is basically just your story. In fact, on the ground, the researchers have found that it's related to contractors and advanced propulsion techniques. So there's nothing to really indicate that you were studying UFOs in your program. That's a fact. And of course, this is a shot of unidentified inside America's UFO investigation. This is the title, Inside America's. I find this very interesting. They're trying to trigger this kind of patriotic thing around Elizondo. But I'll tell you, in fact, Elizondo has lied repeatedly in public. And it's been pointed out by other researchers, and I've pointed it out here even tonight. So I think when it comes to disclosure, we deserve better than CIA lies, especially leftover lies. Remember, the CIA in 2015 said all UFO reports were them testing aircraft, and that they were willing to deceive the American public for some 70 years about that until they finally came clean. So their mandate is to say, look, we can lie about anything and we can excuse ourselves when we do lie. Now, the reason, this is kind of interesting, and I have to really get to this point, which is the person who set up the CIA, the person who created the monster, was Harry Truman. But a month to the day after the JFK assassination, Truman did something very interesting. I'm going to read it here. And then we're going to look at a couple other things. Then we're going to get into your questions tonight. I'm going to remind everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. What a fantastic crowd. It's great to be back. We're here on episode 51. It's a very, very hardcore and explosive report that we're bringing to you about the CIA interference in the UFO file through organizations like the TTSA. And certainly, they're not the only one. But since the CIA has so blatantly taken over that organization and just sort of put themselves in the face of the public, here comes the scrutiny, and hopefully there's many more to follow. Okay, this is a a Washington Post op-ed. Miss Olivia, I should have checked in with you first. Mm-hmm. How are you doing over there?
We're doing great.
Fantastic. I'm gonna move this along so we get to your questions mm-hmm. shortly. And ask your questions all in caps, of course, for Olivia tonight, because we're gonna go deep in the second half of the program on that. Okay. Harry Truman. The name of the article is Limit CIA Role to Intelligence. Remember, Truman, in fact, created the CIA in 1947 as part of the National Security Act as a way to get after the World War II situation, as a way to get post-war intelligence to help us basically defeat the communists and the Soviet Union. We needed intelligence assets on the ground. Now, one of the things I should say about the CIA, well, I'll let Truman speak first, and then we'll get into it. But I do want to say that the National Security Act created this secret corridor of funding that we're running into over and over again, and where we find things like the missing trillions and these types of things. Over and over again, we're running into that. And as a political issue, I can say in 2019, there's no more important political issue than the missing trillions, because you're going to bump right into the X-Tech and you're going to bump right into the UFO file when you get there, and you're going to see just how deep those are related. And certainly with the hot zone reports that we do here on this program, we're going to find over and over again that space and all the different programs that we have that go into space and satellites all have a strong relationship to that area of the hot zone there, stretching out from Bimini to Cuba to Yucatan. So all these things, interestingly enough, are very related, and we're going to do our best all year to really bring you those. Okay, unless you have something, I'm going to read this. Miss Olivia.
I got a big question. I know what I'm going to start with.
Okay, do you want to take it after?
Yes, because it's going to open up our entire line of questions.
I love that. That's very classically spoken by Olivia. As usual, she's got a big fish on the hook. It's really, it's something else to come into 2019 and see this kind of CIA operation really booming with this whole thing of unidentified. And then to see, I have nothing against people like the Open Minds group. You know, but they're supposedly doing UFO journalism, and all they do is embrace Elizondo and the TTSA, and they don't ask any real questions. And they actually, I found them using press releases from the TTSA as the news article. I mean, you know, we need a more robust journalistic approach when looking at these things, especially if you're going to stretch it into mainstream media and have Fox News talking about the UFO file. And, you know, we have people like Elizondo floating past all the tough questions that he would get ordinarily in the UFO community, to, really getting this kind of rolled out the red carpet through people like Coast and all the rest, and MUFON. You know, MUFON doesn't care as long as they make a buck, obviously. And now we have Elizondo on these shows like CNN and Fox and all the rest of it saying, like, I know, and now he has his own series. This is getting ridiculous. I mean, it's really out of hand, and we need a reality check. And, what is that line, which is the world needs a wake-up call? I guess, you know, they need it to be fun.
Well, we need standards for everything.
Yes.
That is just what is so lacking.
Absolutely.
And alternative or independent media need standards?
Yeah, well, the whole point, really, when you get into the independent media, is that the mainstream media was lying, wasn't giving people the truth. And the growth of the independent media was as an alternative to the lying media that was controlled by pharmaceutical companies and, you know, Ford Corporation ads and all the rest of it. So when we get to a point in alternative media, on the independent side, where we're just embracing the CIA, what's the point? What's the point, really, when you think about it? You know, those journalists might as well just retire and save whatever name that they have left. You know, I mean, I have no desire to see some of the better people who've dealt with the UFO question over the past 20 years get tarnished by association with the TTSA. But I think the TTSA, this is a weird thing, because a corporation comes in with a lot of money, with a lot of media clout, and with a lot of intel clout, promising things like, you're going to get everything you were looking for. You're going to get, you know, contracts, you're going to get book things, you're going to get into movies, we're going to get this UFO story out. Just accept this guy, who, by the way, is a senior CIA counterintelligence guy, and everything will be fine. So there's incentives there for people. Yeah, I mean, this is tough, right? It is. It's tough.
No, it is. I disagree. Because once you've been, I mean, at a certain point, you know, you've lived for a certain amount of time and you've been fooled. You've been deceived. I've had my own lessons around
sure.
things. And, you know, that's what W said, right? Won't get fooled again, right? And you just say, no, never, ever again, right?
Fool me twice, can't get fooled
yeah,
again.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the fact that people who are over 35, you know, who, you know, and well over 35, who've lived life, who know things, still will play the game, you know, and allow themselves to be fooled. It's completely irrational.
Yeah, it is. Actually, it's a great point, actually. There's no excuse for it. I think the tough thing is that in general society, research around the UFO file has not been well supported. So I'm saying that a lot of those authors, I feel, maybe they felt that they didn't get the respect or they didn't get the money or they didn't get the prestige or whatever it was. And so when they see an opportunity to do that, even though it comes through the CIA, they kind of grasp it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because it's a failure of character ultimately, in my opinion. And it's also them dangling the carrot.
Mm-hmm. I'm not taking a carrot anymore.
No. Look, it's very simple. On the Dark Journalist Show, we will not accept CIA UFO disclosure. It's very simple. We understand the CIA is an organization enough not to take their word. And if anything, I want them to account for everything that they've done, you know, in the public eye that they've gotten away with when over and over again the excuse has been used national security. And that includes the Iraq War and Iran-Contra, the JFK assassination, Watergate. These are things that need to be accounted for by those organizations. We don't need to expand their mandate to controlling the public impression of the UFO file through an entertainment company. You have to really understand what the op is. And I think when we get into this juncture, when we get into this point of it, it's such a precipice that if we don't spotlight it now, you know, before these people kind of control the way this is rolled out, it's a very dangerous situation, especially when you combine it with things like the space fence and all the rest of it. What do you got?
Gigi says, throw the carrots in the trash.
I couldn't agree more. Okay, look, Harry Truman set up the CIA in 1947 as part of the National Security Act. In 1963, November 22nd, President Kennedy was assassinated. President Kennedy tried on a number of occasions to get the truth wrangled out of the CIA about the UFO file, and also tried to get the power of the UFO file out of their hands, and also try to rein them in from causing basically World War III. But they had their plans set, and he was really a huge obstacle because, one, he was independently wealthy. Two, he was extremely deft politically, unbelievable. And three, like Trump, he had surprised the mainstream by getting elected. They thought, oh, he's too young, he's Catholic and all the rest. Let's get a few things on the record before I read Truman's role so we understand. One, this is President Kennedy in November 16th, a week before the assassination, sitting at NASA. And he had sent them a memo. And the memo stated that they needed to share, they were going to do a joint cooperation mission, not a space race, with the Russians. And this was very important when you look at that particular piece of history, because our national security state was so hell-bent on getting rid of the Russians. So when we look at Kennedy saying we're going to go to the moon with them as a way to inspire peaceful cooperation and move back. Remember, they had the Cuban Missile Crisis where they almost had a nuclear exchange there. So tensions were very high. And he understood as president, we need to step back from this precipice and that these people are power mad. And also that they've been getting us, the regular public policymakers, the leadership, into trouble. And they're operating on the covert side and we're operating the overt side. And somehow they have control. Kennedy fired Alan Dulles, who was the director of the CIA since 1953, and really was the sacred cow of all the things that they got away with. Of course, Dulles' brother was Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles, and that family just had an incredible stranglehold over our foreign policy. That's why so many of these things happened. Now, Kennedy, when he discharged Dulles, had something very interesting to say, which was after this failed Bay of Pigs invasion in Cuba, where the CIA tried to basically bait him into World War III by saying, you have to provide cover, your political life will be thrown over. And remember, it was only 2 months into Kennedy's presidency. He's very young in the job, and he was the youngest president ever elected. But Dulles tried to basically force him into this stance. And so Kennedy fired him. And when he fired him, he said, if this were England, I'd have to go. But this is America, so you have to go. That's very important to keep in mind, because basically, by the way we do business in America, the Constitution, as shredded as it may be, still rules. But the CIA around the UFO file, especially Richard Bissell, who also got thrown out in this debacle, Bissell and Dulles definitely controlled the UFO file. And Kennedy's basically grasp to get it back meant he had to fire both of them in relation not only to the UFO file, but their deeds. Here's a document. So I want to get this on the record. National Security Action Memorandum number 271. There's no disputing this document because it's on file at the Kennedy Library, and it's called Cooperation with the USSR on Outer Space Matters. November 12th, 1963, that's 10 days before the Kennedy assassination. It instructs NASA to that the United States and the Russians are going to work together, and that we need to share to prepare this program for the following year, where we're going to share all this. This is share, you know, X share. Think about it. That's the document. Anyone can look it up. It's a National Security Action Memorandum 271. Read it, and we'll get something of an idea of this battle on the UFO file still going on some 55 years later. This document, which the CIA has never disputed, came out accidentally through a Freedom of Information Act request some 10 years ago that a school teacher made. It's a very unusual document that has been used over 40,000 reports. I'm going to read it briefly here. The memorandum to the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, November 12th, again, the same day as the other one. President Kennedy, subject, the classification review of all UFO intelligence files affecting national security. Quote, as I have discussed with you previously, I've initiated and have instructed James Webb, the head of NASA, to develop a program with the Soviet Union in joint space and lunar operations. It would be very helpful if you would have the high threat cases about UFOs reviewed with the purpose of identification of bona fide as opposed to classified CIA and U.S. Air Force sources. It's important that we make a clear distinction between the knowns and unknowns in the event the Soviets try to mistake our extended cooperation as a cover for intelligence gathering of their defense and space programs. He basically gives them till February to do this. This is 10 days before he is assassinated. So basically he's saying your reign over the UFO file is over. Give me the high threat cases. Give me the other cases. We're going to share them with the Russians and we're going to work this out together. So that's a huge contributing factor to why they felt they needed to get rid of him. Now, on this program, we had Watergate lawyer Douglas Caddy. And Douglas Caddy revealed for the first time that his friend, who was E. Howard Hunt, who was the super spy for the CIA, had told him before he went to prison for Watergate that Kennedy was assassinated because of the UFO file, because he wanted to share the UFO file. It's a very interesting high-level confession by a CIA officer to his friend, and some people say his best friend. And I think Caddy's role there as a historical figure is unimpeachable. And I have that episode up on this channel if anyone wants to see it. But this, again, we have the context of the CIA and the push-pull between ex-protect and ex-share. the Kennedy assassination is a crucial piece of it, because whatever was going on, that deep state aspect had to reach in and actually remove a president in order to further their plans. They have, when this has come up again in Richard Nixon, he got removed through Watergate. He had the same type of tussle with the CIA. He thought he could control them, but he couldn't. As we've reported here before, and President Reagan, the way they dealt with him was that they basically played into this idea that UFOs were a threat. And so he wanted that information too. So we've had that over and over again, and we always see the CIA trying to block or cast aspersions when a president wants to meet alone without his advisors with his Russian counterpart. This happened recently with President Trump and President Putin. So that means that they can't get their hands on or manipulate those conversations. And when they discuss the UFO file, they get on a roll themselves. And the presidents start to overpower this intelligence role that's going on. So the intelligence people don't control it anymore. This is basically the nature of the problem. A few quick excerpts from Harry Truman so that we understand the impact of what the CIA is and why it can't be trusted in relation to the UFO file, whether it's Luis Elizondo's TTSA or whether it's in relation to programs that they're going to roll out getting in here, and how over the past 70 years, basically, their main thing has been to whitewash the entire UFO issue. On one hand, and also to intimidate witnesses that might expose that wall of secrecy. So what we need, in essence, is to get at the truth in relation to this. I'll remind everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. It's episode number 51. We're covering the CIA and the UFO file. And interestingly enough, TTSA keeps coming up. What do you make of that? All right, so here are the quotes from Harry Truman. Remember, 1 month to the day after the Kennedy assassination, and also remember that former President Truman had, in fact, he created the CIA. He created the Frankenstein monster. Unfortunately, he lived to rue the day he had ever done it. Okay. Quote, "I think it has become necessary to take another look at the purpose and operations of our Central Intelligence Agency. At least I would like to submit here the original reason why I thought it necessary to organize this agency during my administration, what I expected it to do, and how it was to operate as an arm of the president." What he goes on to describe here is how it was sort of a crazy situation after World War II, and there was intelligence coming from everywhere. And he thought one central agency, you know, would be able to take all the intelligence reports and prepare something for the president to give to him. Boy, that doesn't that sound a whole lot different from what they did? I mean, so off the charts. How on earth did they get all this power? This is crazy, and they're completely extra-constitutional. Let's keep rolling. "Their collective information reached the president all too frequently in conflicting conclusions." That's why. So there were these different agencies giving him different information. That's why he created it. "At times, the intelligence reports tended to be slanted to conform to established positions of a given department. This became confusing, and what's worse, such intelligence is of little use to a president in reaching the right decisions." So he's giving us the background of where his thinking was from. "Therefore, I decided to set up a special organization charged with collection of all intelligence reports from every available source." Absolutely crucial. I wanted and needed the information in its natural, raw state and in as comprehensive a volume as was practical for me to make full use of." All he wanted in setting up the CIA was to get those raw intelligence reports to help him in his job as president function. Quote, former President Harry Truman, "For some time, I've been disturbed by the way the CIA has been diverted from its original assignment. It's become an operational and at times policy-making arm of the government. This has led to trouble and may have compounded our difficulties in several explosive areas." Executive action comes to mind. "I never had any thought when I set up the CIA that it would be injected into peacetime cloak and dagger operations. Some of the complications and embarrassment I think we have experienced are in part attributable to the fact that this quiet intelligence arm of the president has been removed from its intended role, that it is being interpreted as a symbol of sinister and mysterious foreign intrigue. There are now some searching questions that need to be answered. I therefore would like to see the CIA be restored to its original assignment as an intelligence arm of the president. We've grown up as a nation respected for our free institutions and for our ability to maintain a free and open society. There's something about the way the CIA has been functioning that is casting a shadow over our historic position, and I feel we need to correct it. What he in fact says in this article is that you either have to mend the CIA or dismantle it. They didn't mend it, and they certainly didn't dismantle it. Kennedy, to Arthur Schlesinger, who was his trusted family aide and his biographer and a great writer in his own right, he said, look, we need to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter the ashes to the wind because they represent essentially their own government. So this battle, this push-pull has been going on for some time. The CIA overreach into the UFO file, especially with all these CIA people showing up in an entertainment company, TTSA, and all the hijinks that have been around it and now history getting involved, comes down to us from a long line, a succession of actions by the Central Intelligence Agency, veering off into controlling journalists. They had over 400 journalists, it was released in the 1970s, that were on their payroll. Once we got into 9/11 and all the rest of it, the figure's probably so much higher, we can't even imagine. But we've also seen the CIA invade Hollywood entertainment and all the rest of it. So at least, like Harry Truman said, the buck stops here. At least here, the buck stops. We're not going to go along with a CIA narrative of disclosure, the History Channel and Elizondo, senior counterintelligence, and the racks and racks of CIA people behind this endeavor. Now, interestingly enough, someone very interesting took the very same perspective, but it was 2006. And Olivia, I think you have that clip. This is going to be very interesting for people who are listening now and hearing all this stuff from Elizondo and TTSA about how great the CIA is. I'd like to hear this little clip from 2006, and then I'll tell you who says it. Go for it.
It's not playing.
CIA and the mob killed one of the best presidents of all time. I have it in this book. It's crazy.
Can you believe it?
I know so.
Okay, so that was Tom DeLonge in 2006 saying that the CIA had assassinated President Kennedy. So a decade later, he comes out and says the CIA are heroes who are fighting aliens on our behalf. So what happened in the 10 years in between? That's a very important thing, I think, for us to discover. And how do you go from understanding that one essential truth about the CIA to now being their main promoter when it comes to the UFO file? These are the types of answers I think that we need to get. So with that, Miss Olivia, I'm going to turn it over to you and your questions.
Okay, well, first of all, I wanted to say it is David Tormina's birthday today.
Hey, that's
great.
And
he's a great friend to the show and a great friend to me. So happy birthday. And
well, David Tormina, I want to say this about him on Twitter. He does a lot of open source research on Twitter, more than a lot of people, actually. So, he's great and happy birthday. And what is that? What sign does that make him?
Aries.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Okay. And so we're going to start with his question, which is, DJ, if presidents can't thwart the influence of the CIA, who can and how?
The public can by supporting officials like the president or whoever happens to be in the crosshairs of the CIA. This is a very interesting question, which is, how do you publicly make a difference on this? And a lot of people fundamentally understand this. This is very interesting to me. That, you know, the CIA fundamentally has proven to be dishonest. And they've proven in political mess after political mess to have gotten us into these situations with very, very little really push back on that. You know, you don't see a lot of CIA people being really held up in the media. There are clandestine operations. Spycraft's not easy. Okay, I understand that, and things will happen there. But they're absolute control over the media by being able to say, look, you know, when someone sees something in the New York Times and says, from an unspecified source, that's the CIA. And so these people don't want to lose that connection. In many cases, a connection with the CIA can make a career. So it's a very tricky thing. But fundamentally, on the public side, I think that people understand that this isn't an organization that you would think in a million years would tell the truth. I mean, you know, they haven't for 70 years. Why would they start now? So I think there is that public understanding that if someone from the CIA comes out and says it, now they've been engaged in a program of rehabilitating their image and really using 9/11 to do that through programs like Homeland and all the rest of it, which really portray these CIA people as unimpeachable. And this is the milieu that this whole Elizondo story comes out of. They're using Elizondo as, you know, he's one of these heroes. We're fighting aliens. And so what if your 20 trillion disappeared? You know, they were the good guys and they were fighting monsters or whatever. I mean, it's really a joke. And I think public awareness is what can thwart an intel psychological operation like that. So they have a long history. Remember, they have a lot of advanced history on this. Okay,
a cult fan. Please ask Daniel what disclosure would look like. Is it actually something that could ever be, quote, given to the masses, given the spiritual and technological nature of the UFO file?
I don't think the government can give disclosure. I think that disclosure is the culture and the society moving into a position where they just understand something, their minds adjust to it better, and there's something in the zeitgeist that just kind of produces a result. Very much like when the Berlin Wall fell and all that, you know, all these years of planning and trying to make those things happen, nothing happened. But there was a certain point where people desired freedom more than the feared the restraints from the oppressors. And it just was in the zeitgeist. It, you know, there were even astrological elements involved. But I think what we're looking at now is we're going into space large scale. We've got the space fence involved. We've got this incredible apparatus in space for space mining. There's a space economy that's brewing. And they know when people get up there, they're going to have a much better look at the UFO craft. And so they're going to have to be able to explain it somehow. So I think what they're trying to do is position it as a threat. And their version of disclosure is basically, let's make people afraid of it. And also, they've done a lot of things in studying it where they've said, the religious crowd really won't buy the UFO thing, you know, because of the nature of their training. So what we'll do is, for them, we'll have this whole UFOs as demons thing. You know, we'll refer to the fact that there are demons out there. So this is the way they've worked it. And they have a really large-scale problem. But certainly, the working with in the fashion of people like John Mack, like Stanton Friedman, who wanted to bring the truth out, that really gets us to the next place. It's part of a zeitgeist action. It has nothing to do with some heroic figure in the CIA saying, I'm going to come out and give you disclosure. If anything, as we know, the last place you'd look for disclosure would be the CIA. This is what amazes me in relation to the TTSA. I mean, you know, that would really be the last place to go. Okay,
Aether. Does the CIA play any role in the control, direction, and management of the Men in Black towards the silence of UFO experiencers among the public?
Well, here's the thing. Richard Helms, who was the director under Johnson and Nixon, and went on to, when he was kind of fired by Nixon, he went on to become the ambassador to Iran shortly before the Iranian Revolution. That's some interesting timing. But he headed up groups that studied things like telepathy. And he did, you know, that whole, he was the precursor for the remote viewing stuff that Putoff got involved with in the 70s. And it is very interesting that we have that on record. Of course, the whole psychic detective aspect. What we've seen in relation to the Men in Black is this whole idea of the astral agency. And we brought that forward on this program, and it's just people like Helms who studied that, who were really into the occult aspect and trying to figure out how they could use that for CIA methods. The Men in Black come out of that program, but it's a deep, deep faction inside of what I refer to on this program, the X series, as X Protect. And I think the X Protect group is where the Men in Black aspect resides. And I do think that they use astral projection and things like that in order to accomplish that type of intimidation. Very interesting subject. I've done a few episodes on it. I highly recommend them. And I want to remind everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. We are back with episode X51 of the X series. And we're talking tonight about the CIA and the UFO file and their incredibly long history. And there's been a lot of facts that I've had to dish out tonight so people get kind of awakened to the fact that this group, with all of these CIA people embedded in it, are not a good place to look for any kind of official UFO disclosure, and that the politics around it are off the charts. I mean, we have Trump on one hand with the whole Space Force notion, and you know, we had the whole Hillary aspect, and she was going to roll in with Elizondo's operation. And what happened when she didn't get in, I think there was a lot of consternation and a lot of talk among her and Podesta and all the rest of it. I know I have some pictures here. That's this is Podesta with DeLong and Peter Lavenda, who they hired to do some books. And, you know, and you're Peter Lavenda, if you're a writer, what do you do? But this was very heavily reported on during the 2016 election. There's one there. Let's see if I can get a shot of this here. Take a good look at that. And what it says is very interesting. It says, why is Blink-182's Tom DeLong emailing Hillary Clinton's chief of staff about UFOs? Podesta not only served the Clintons in the 90s, but he was also chief of staff under Obama. So he has those deep, deep roots. And Podesta, the Podesta operation was the Democratic version of this disclosure parody, which got rolled out anyway, even though she didn't get in as president. But getting it rolled out while Trump is in there is very strange. That's why the TTSA is so weird and so awkward. And so Trump, from his side, is saying, I have a space force. That's how he's going to get his control of the UFO file. Their op is to say, you know, we're freedom fighters, you know, we're whistleblowers, and we're coming out with this great truth, and the conversation can start with us, even though the conversation's been out there for 75 years or more. You know, really, they're thinking that a lot of marketing and a lot of entertainment and a lot of intel backing can get them over the finish line on this. And I think that when you get right down to it, they're sorely mistaken. The other thing is they always tout Harry Reid as a big part of this. Remember, Harry Reid supposedly authorized the $22 million for the ATIP program. But in fact, that money went to Bigelow Aerospace, who was a big Harry Reid supporter there in Nevada. That's just how politics works. And try to tout Harry Reid as a big transparency hero. Let's take a little walk down memory lane with Harry Reid. Memory lane with Harry Reid. What was he doing there in 2014? He was the one obstacle standing in the way of the Audit the Fed movement. Now, interestingly enough, in the 1990s, Harry Reid was a big champion saying, we have to audit the Fed and all the rest of it. But he became the fundamental block when they had enough votes in the Senate during 2013 and 2014 under Obama. There were Republican groups that wanted it because of the whole Ron Paul effect from the 2012 election. That was huge when he would question Ben Bernanke and say, you know, will you give me the names of these banks you gave all the bailout money to? And Bernanke would sit there and go, no. So people, there was really the need for the Fed to get audited. And the man who blocked it was Reid, who was the Senate Majority Leader. He was the Democrat head. And the Democrats controlled the Senate. So why would this guy want UFO disclosure when he doesn't want Fed disclosure? It doesn't add up.
Let's think about that. Not at all.
Okay, keep rolling.
Okay. Najab was actually asking, what is Harry up to these days? Do you know?
Well, see, this is the other interesting thing, which is he's a retired senator. And even though he blows his mouth off about UFOs or whatever now that he's not in office, look, ex-senators can say what they want. There's no ramifications. When you are a senator, there are ramifications. You have donors. You have all these different forces on you. And so the game is very, very different. So he can say anything he wants. He can say he went to the moon. It's not really going to matter. But if he was a sitting senator, if he was still the Senate majority leader and he was rolling out this operation, then it would be a totally different game. You'd see much more of a huge kerfuffle going on. Let's put it that way. I also wanted to point out, of course, and we covered this when it came up, but DeLong's agency, of course, is running in the red over $37 million. That's been widely reported, even in mainstream news. And their explanation is, oh, you don't understand how startups work, man. We're supposed to be in debt. Well, man, but at the same time, you know, that kind of money, being in debt, that kind of money in your first year is pretty substantial.
You don't need to tell the truth is free.
Yeah, right.
How about you don't need to go into debt for that.
Absolutely. I really feel that that's another telltale sign about the types of pressures involved. And, you know, I have to say this, I would never in a million years want to impugn the characters of any of the UFO journalists out there. But, you know, look, Harry Reid is good friends with Bigelow, one, the billionaire Bigelow, and good friends with George Knapp. So maybe, you know, can you really blow apart your friend's operation? Leslie Kane, is a great writer. Her Military UFOs book is one of my favorite books of all time, and I like her. But just to acknowledge political pressures that could be involved, her uncle is Governor Thomas Kane from New Jersey, who headed up the 9/11 council. So, you know, there's political pressures involved in something like this. And the fact that these people jumped on board when all the answers weren't there in relation to Elizondo and what the op was and that weird program, ATIP, and $22 million for 5 years, that's not a lot of money, right? That's enough money to in the Pentagon to go have coffee and talk about this stuff. So something very, very strange. And also that Bigelow was the one who got the money and he was a Reid donor. I mean, if anything, I wonder sometimes if this wasn't preemptive of finding out just how dirty some of those exchanges are. So, I think if anything, we need to take a really tough look at what's going on. You know, if you want deep state, look, get entertainment, right? You have a rock star guy, get politics, right? You have Harry Reid, compromised politician from Nevada, okay? I mean, Nevada, we know they play rough. They held host to the mafia for 50 years. That's where the foundation was from. Harry Reid is a Mormon, on one hand, deeply CIA connected. And on the other hand, he is someone who has been basically compromised in Nevada politics for so many years in the Senate majority leader. I mean, these are power positions. So I think with all these factors involved, the thing needs to be looked at in a much more serious fashion. And this whole fluffy thing about the History Channel rolling out, America's UFO program, this has nothing to do with America. It's the CIA's program. It's nothing to do with legitimate UFO research at all. So let's be clear on that. Yes.
On that note, David Donaway says, the UFO file is bigger than the US since all governments suppress the information. Yes. Surely the CIA is an expression and function of the deep state, serves as a larger agenda than control of America.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say America has the lead on the UFO file, and I would say Russia's a close second. Those two are neck and neck with it. And I think we see that play out a lot. I think even the Venezuela thing, as we're going to get into for April, with April being the hot zone month, so much of the Venezuelan crisis and the Russian-American tensions are about things relating to the hot zone as well. So I think there's things below the surface that we're not seeing that are causing a lot of the tensions that are going on. Remind everyone to go to darkjournalist.com, by the way, sign up for the newsletter. That'll keep us on track. We've been experiencing incredible, and I mean incredible, censorship in the independent media space. Every day I wake up and I see a new program has been pulled from Twitter, or a new YouTube channel has gone down or been demonetized or whatever it is. The only way to guarantee that kind of back and forth that we need to have certainly is for us to have that relationship. Sign up for the newsletter. It's free, and basically you'll get it once a week in your inbox. While you're there, subscribe to Dark Journalist. Get behind the things that we're doing in this program, because as you can see, very often we're like a lone outpost reporting some of these things. And I'd be happy for, you know, more people to get on board with the topics.
Yes. Plus, we need to get a rug for the room to help with the echo.
Exactly. There's the whole studio rug. Mm-hmm. No, but seriously, and we've made it incredibly affordable. That's the best way for you guys to get out there and support us. Go to darkjournalist.com, get on board with it, get behind it. Look, I can tell you for a fact that there's so many ways and means of controlling information right now. There are literally rooms full of computers that are bots that are meant to take down information like what we're reporting here. And they will show up on Twitter, they will show up on YouTube, casting downvotes or pushing things aside when the heat gets too heavy. So that's the type of wall that we're up against. And so any support that you guys lend us is very appreciated. And, you know, we're happy to take the heat in the kitchen as long as you guys are behind us. Okay.
Okay, so Chris
Hey, that's another Harry Truman I did too. Mm-hmm. That's if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. That's Harry Truman, and then the buck stops here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can keep rolling. Okay.
Chris Radzian wants to know, what is Jim Semivan's role in TTSA?
Well, you know, he's one of the major players, certainly, and they assign them these different roles. The roles are kind of ridiculously overblown. You know what they have to say, actually, I find fascinating. They say that his role, Elizondo's role, is the head of global security. This is an entertainment company.
Global security.
Think about that.
Wow.
Not even local security, global. He's the guardian of the world.
With a soul patch.
I didn't say that. But yes, it's true. But what I do find interesting about that is, you know, when you look at their incorporated charter, they're an entertainment company. So what are they doing calling him the global security, you know, grand poobah? It doesn't make any sense. Like, so a lot of the roles that they assign, it seems to me that a lot of the titles have these kind of overblown qualities, you know, like director of science, you know, TTSA, as far as we can tell, the only thing that they've ever come forward with, you know, we've seen those incredibly compromised videos, the things that turns out, some of them turned out to be basically the effect on the lens. We've done programs on that. A lot of the things that they said were breakthrough videos had already come out in 2007 and been on YouTube even. So they have not really brought forth anything. The only thing that they've brought forth is an incredible CIA presence in the UFO community that's been backed up, and an incredible marketing push, which is backed up by a lot of money. And the stock offering thing where they said, hey, we're going to build a lighter than air, you know, craft, and we're going to do all this stuff. And they raised $2 million to do that. They probably used that to make the TV program that Elizondo's
exactly.
in right now. I mean, come on. You know, we really have to be real about these things. The idea of something is nice, you know, but when you see a bunch of CIA people and you billionaires hanging around like Bigelow and stuff, I mean, you know, that's not how you get results. That it doesn't work that way. You know, you get results from good researchers who don't have those types of incentives, who are honest, who will ethically try to get at the truth. And you you work with them and you develop cues for how the truth comes out and ways to spread it. And you develop based on the information. It builds on itself very much like a scientific experiment. The idea that you can get some kind of easy cakewalk on this stuff from a government agency through an entertainment company that's using an entertainment figure like DeLong is really off the wall. And I think that they are trying to do the kind of like instant coffee thing. It's like they're trying to make it just quick and easy and go down easy. By the way, forget about the missing trillions and forget about the 75 years of this agency, you know, skirting the law. So I think that, you know, and not only that, but think about the researchers that were involved all the way back to Morris Jessup, who died under mysterious circumstances, James McDonald, you know, Mac Tonnies. There's so many people who died studying UFOs under mysterious circumstances.
John Mack, probably.
John Mack, absolutely. And I was fortunate enough to meet Mac, you know, and I think that people like that do make a huge impression. on you with the work that they do. So I think I understand, or I have a window into that world, you know, going between, on one hand, somebody like Peter Del Scott, who doesn't deal with UFOs at all, but he's dealing with the deep state. He originated the term, and he understands that whole, how that machinations of the CIA work. And then somebody like Mac coming in from Harvard and saying, we need to get at the truth of what is going on here. We need to bring this type of information together. And I hope that that's something that we do well on this show. Yes, Miss Olivia.
Thomas Tyson says, quote, politics is the entertainment arm of the military-industrial complex. That's Frank Zappa. Pretty good. So Brendan Fisher said, does head of global security mean head of Exprotect?
That's pretty good. I think that I have a potentially explosive story in relation to Elizondo and his past. And I was going to bring it out tonight, but because I was contacted by the person who was the subject of it, I think I may be able to go even deeper with it. So we'll give us a better idea of Elizondo and what his, you know, it'll probably get him to open up about what he was doing exactly as a special agent, CIA officer. But on the other hand, I do feel that things like Exprotect operate inside the milieu of the CIA. So it's a very, but remember, I think in terms of that aspect, it's really deep, deep, deep in the program. So people that are willing to come forward and say, I'm a CIA agent and I'm interested in getting this out, they don't make great candidates for Exprotect. Okay.
Okay. Jonathan Paul DeVereville, what must the American people do to pull back the veil of the 70-year lie to reveal the truth?
That's good. That's really what we need to be thinking about. My own answer is to, you can bring transparency to it by working with the material that's available and expanding it. That is, we understand there are researchers who've gone into sightings who have kind of raised it. The thing is, it's all about public awareness because look, the UFO thing doesn't go away. You know, there are sightings all over the world all the time. And we are, when we raise the consciousness about it and we get it to be part of the zeitgeist, we can bring forward deeper answers. The way to get away from the kind of CIA control over a subject like this is not to accept and not to support the types of information or interference, and to actively push back on it and bring public pressure for them to be exposed when they come in to a field to try to dominate it. We see so many things going on now, and you could say, you know, well, vaccines would be this incredible thing where you could look at the pharmaceutical pressures that are going on through the politicians. And the politicians then, you know, hire out police arms to raid people. So there's so many issues that we could get into, and the UFO file being one of them. There are so many different dots that can be connected along this line. But when speaking specifically about the UFO file, I think that we have to understand that this is a long-standing push-pull between one group inside government that I've seen called X-Share, and the X-Protect group. And the X-Protect group are always working on psychological operations. So it is literally the greater awareness and being able to identify those two forces for people that are looking into the issue. And also when people show up looking, finding out about this mystery and trying to get into what is ever is the UFO file, that they don't run first into a TTSA or, you know, get that kind of misinformation so that they're dumbed down into believing this kind of junk story from the CIA. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would also say, unfortunately, what whistleblowers look like are people who are suicided and murdered and or thrown in prison. You know, absolutely. They're not given their own TV shows for season after season after season. You know, they're not allowed to travel the world doing conferences. Exprotect is too powerful for that. That's, you know, it's not allowed. So, you know, we need to acknowledge that.
Obviously, there's a sanctioned program It is very interesting, and we will take this up in another episode. But what I will say is there's a sanctioned program to feel out the public. That is something that exists for information gathering on both sides. So sometimes when these things happen, we don't always know who's rolling them out. When you see so many people show up around TTSA in a group like that with so many intelligence connections, it's pretty obvious that it's the CIA-run operation. I mean, in this case, they're being blatant about it, which I find very fascinating. But I think that there is an effort on the X-Share side versus the X-Protect side, and that X-Protect blocks X-Share over and over again. And some of the ways that they can block them is by mimicking them, by saying, look, I'm coming out, I'm a whistleblower, I'm Elizondo, I'm ex-CIA, and I want to bring you the truth, using all the things that a real whistleblower would say or that we've seen people come forward with. So, yes.
Yeah, but the proof is in the pudding.
Absolutely.
I mean, nothing's happened to him, you know?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and I think really, if anyone really takes a look at the timeline he's developed and the rhetoric he's come out with, it's been incredibly inconsistent and can only be described as lying, bald-faced lying in mm-hmm. some cases. So, I think that the CIA is being very true to form with the Elizondo operation. Yes.
Yeah, what is that Elvis song? A little less conversation, a little more action. I think we should follow that
advice.
Dude,
they're starting the conversation.
enough. We've had enough. We've had 70 years of conversation. Okay, so Blake Nickel, where does the breakaway civilization fit into the CIA?
Well, this is very interesting. I never thought that the breakaway civilization was a sufficient enough term. I always thought that breakaway, it's really a breakaway group. And I think that in terms of the conversation that we have, look, if you've got advanced medicine, if you've got advanced technology, if you have, if you're working on that level, then you are kind of living in a different reality. You know, if you understand the vast underground bases that they're building and working on, you're living in a different informed reality than the general public. And the idea basically is that we have this kind of public government on top, public leadership, and underneath it is the covert leadership. So you have covert and overt, and the covert side keeps stepping into the overt side and forcing public policy decisions to be changed. And so I feel like when we see something move in society, like when we saw this whole thing come out about X-gender, which even a lot of trans people were really not on board with. They're like, what is going on here? And how the X-gender thing is to set up this whole transhumanist thing so that you can give robot rights. And this is how they operate. They're going in a few years in advance and saying, hey, aren't you for equal rights for all people? When what they're actually trying to do is create rights for robots. We have to be informed. And I think that it's these types of discussions that'll get us there. Okay, we'll take two more questions and then we're out. So choose wisely, Mr.
Okay. Ed.
By the way, you're watching the Dark Journalist program. We are on episode 51 of the X series. And a programming note, we're coming back next Friday at 7:30 p.m. to kick off the Hot Zone April, which is going to really study what's going on in the Caribbean in relation to these discoveries and advanced technology. So we certainly hope that you will join us. Remember to go to darkjournalist.com, sign up for the newsletter, get on board so we can kind of stay in touch and bypass so many of the things that are going on the social media front. Yes.
Okay, so David Donaway and Urban Degenerate both had the same question. Basically, who's the CIA working for? Who is running the CIA?
Many people have asked that question. I think it is worthy of note. By the way, that name made me think of Ellen DeGeneres. I want to say this about the CIA. A lot of people don't understand this, but the CIA, when it was developed, had a branch that got completely out of hand, and they started to manipulate elections, especially the Italian elections in 1948, And then they were involved in something which, you know, was like sabotage and you know, I think blowing up trains and things like that. So Truman was like, look, just get those people back under our wing. And what they did is they developed them and called them something ridiculously innocuous. It was the Office of Policy Coordination, OPC. Frank Wisner and his people, and the things that they would do and who was funding them to do it. Remember the first leader there with the CIA, Walt Dulles, the first real power leader for the CIA, he was a Wall Street lawyer out of Sullivan and Cromwell. So that gives us a hint that the intelligence thing was being manipulated immediately by the Wall Street crowd. But the OPC, when they got reabsorbed into the CIA, they were the ones that did the covert things, like, you know, throwing elections and things like that. And when Truman said, get them back under the wing of the CIA, they got incorporated in such a way that when Dulles was the leader of the CIA, he started to use them. And in fact, that aspect of the CIA took over the normal intelligence gathering aspects that the CIA was intended for. So I think that schism right there, where we created the National Security Act that creates the secret corridor of funding, there's the black budget. That's where things get out of the reach of the public. That's one. Two is this weird OPC and Dulles coming forward as a Wall Street lawyer running the CIA and incorporating this weird OPC covert operations group, really using them to, you know, do things like get our Benz out of Guatemala and things that are just completely against, you know, we even had to apologize for the CIA activity against Mossadegh in Iran in 1953 because we basically caused his own people to throw him out. So, you know, we overthrew countries and all the rest of it, but really it's this OPC factor. So if we really want to understand the CIA, we have to understand how the OPC took over the CIA, and then we'll understand the beast that it became. Okay, we'll take one more.
I just wanted to say, Daniel Natal says the CIA was created in Shanghai by people on the British Opium Corridor. It's long been run by British operatives. That's why they deposed Iran in 1953 when Iran threatened British petroleum. There's a whole history there.
There's no question there's incredible interference from the UK in American politics and business. And I think looking at those things is definitely revealing. So I would actually agree with part of that.
I'm dying to ask you this one question. I know I've asked a bunch from David Donaway tonight, but was there a UFO file in the 19th century? If not, why not?
In the mystery schools, there was. well, you know, it's interesting because I was telling Olivia this earlier, which is Jules Verne wrote a book about going to the moon in 1863, I think. You know, basically like 100 years before it happened. And the idea was there was a cannon that was going to be shot from Florida that would get people to the moon. And it was three people that got there to the moon. And, you know, we sent up three astronauts and certainly they got sent out from Florida. So it makes you wonder the whole mystery school connection to how this works, because people like Verne and like Bulwer Lytton certainly had that mystery school connection. And, you know, we've examined it through the Theosophical Society and Anthroposophy and the types of things that they were engaged in. So I think when we look at this, John Keeley's work becomes part of the ex-technology that Theosophy hides. It's certainly legitimate if you want to look for a UFO file in the 19th century to look at groups like Theosophy and Anthroposophy, I would say. They were giving us hints. and, you know, the Rosicrucians in general, I think, also trying to get that information out. And, of course, we're going to have many more shows going more in depth on Anthroposophy in particular. Yes, I'll take one more question.
Okay, Soft Alloy 07. Please ask DJ, is it safe to say the CIA is at odds with Trump, with legacy media attacking him to the degree that they have?
There's a lot of things going on with President Trump. There's no question that in the beginning, the CIA was engaged in trying to remove him from office. There's no other way to put that. And that they spent 2 years, of course, Brennan was the lead man on MSNBC peddling this whole fantasy about Russiagate and all the rest. In fact, as it turned out, it was the Clinton campaign that was working with the Ukraine that looks like it was a much dicier operation than Russian interference. But in any case, yes is the answer. The CIA, it was the CIA versus Trump. But I do feel like that is changing, and I don't like it because there's a character of the Bushes moving in to the Trump administration, and we've seen it with Barr, the Attorney General, and Gina Haspel, a CIA director, both big Bush people. So I certainly hope the easing up of the CIA on Trump isn't related to the fact that he's working with the Bushes clan, but it's certainly worth keeping an eye on. For sure. Fantastic. Wow. Incredible crowd tonight. Incredible questions. And we definitely will keep an eye, as promised, on these developments of the CIA developing this kind of disclosure cult in the middle of this entertainment company. We've presented a number of facts tonight, and there's more coming forward. But I think we need to get our head on straight about groups like the To the Stars Academy, which is largely an entertainment company now controlled by CIA forces. As you just look at their roster, they're all CIA people. I mean, it's not something that I invented. That just so happens to be the number of people that they have working at the corporation. Now, one thing I did want to read, just so we're all on the same page, was their SEC filing. And there's some quick fact in there. Let's see if I can squeeze this in as like a big dust up at the end. You can go ahead and give me a, shoot me another one.
Well, BB was asking, is the real space race actually an Antarctic ex-tech salvage race with Russia/China? Maybe Russia made some headway down there and spooked the Western deep state.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting. A very informed question. The thing about the Antarctica part, I think it's very hard to get solid data there. And, you know, we've had some whistleblowers come forward and talk, and it's tough. Let me tell you, it's tough.
Intuitively, everyone knows there's something up there.
I think that that's true. I think that that's absolutely true. I would say from my own perspective that the big elephant in the room this year is what's happening in the hot zone, and it has a relation to Antarctica, because they're both relating to a lost civilization and the kind of advanced technology related to that lost civilization. So I think in that sense, that's very true. Also, you notice that there is that kind of tension standoff with Russia and the US in Antarctica, and now we have it again. It's like Cuban Missile Crisis too with Venezuela. That's not going so well, and it doesn't seem like cooler heads are prevailing. And gee, I wonder why. All right. Remember, I do want to say this in all seriousness, that we've had great patriots and great presidents try to battle the grasp for power and the abuse of power by this organization, most notably President Kennedy. And we can't forget the struggle that they had and help these guys remake their image with some kind of UFO heroes without accounting for the types of misdeeds that have taken place over 70 years. Any legitimate reporter seeing the UFO crouch into the UFO field would ask, what is the UFO's motivation? And that's what I'm asking tonight. I also challenge Luis Elizondo to come forward with the facts. If he wants to come forward with those facts with me here on this program or in some neutral venue, I highly recommend it. And I invite all those who have Elizondo on as a guest for his show to press him on the tough questions and his relationship with the Central Intelligence Agency post resigning from ATIP, or actually post resigning from the Pentagon, and to kind of clear up a number of those things that he's put out there which don't add up, and the timeline that he's given which does not add up relating to OSAP and ATIP and all the rest of it. You know, I mean, we're on to that, whatever is the reason why there's been miscommunication and misleading statements there. We're on to it. As journalists, we're on to it. And you're going to have to answer one way or another. You might as well answer with me here. But I'll tell you this. In terms of the operation that's being hoisted upon the UFO community with TTSA, it's not going to go down easy in the sense of people not asking questions. Look at me. I'm one channel of many. So I think getting to the transparency and fessing up is a much better approach. And that's what I highly recommend. At the same time, I don't expect it, because if others are going to give you a red carpet ride, I assume that somebody like Elizondo is, he's going to take it as far as it can go. But there's a lot of eyeballs on what you guys are up to. So I recommend transparency, and I'd recommend honesty when it comes to that, especially since you have a corporation that's, on the market. It's SEC has deep eyes on it. So, I would definitely recommend the kind of transparency. Maybe you guys can get away with it by saying, hey, it's just entertainment. Well, good. Then let everyone in on the fact that it's just entertainment, and that you aren't risking your life by coming out and doing these shows. You said that the only thing you've made by being involved with UFOs is enough to buy a new lawnmower. I don't believe that. I don't believe that that's a true statement. I think Elizondo has made a lot of money from doing this. So, and a lot of contacts and a lot of prestige and a lot of, there's a lot of things that go into this. So what do I recommend, really? When at the end of the day, we've had people who have really been victims of these intelligence agencies and their abuse of power. And I don't recommend that on the UFO file side that we embrace an agency that would do that. I think it would be disastrous. So there's more to come in relation to this. And from a strict journalistic standpoint, remember, good journalism is often, especially investigative journalism, is often adversarial journalism. So keep that in mind. It's not personal, but we're going to get to the facts. That's the nature of the beast. And with that, Miss Olivia?
I want to give a shout out to M. from Seattle.
Yes.
Who gave us a very generous donation. And
an incredible intel drop.
Yes.
There. Very, very interesting stuff. And thank you very much. It was appreciated. And we have some great people out there. I can't believe Dan and Natal is out there. I have not seen him in a while. Fantastic. Denise, of course, a cult fan. And
Bo Krills.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. It's really terrific to see everyone out there. Gigi, and of course, earlier we had
Carly.
Carly from Dimensions and Beyond doing a great job out there with everyone. Grandma Tippy Toes, fantastic. ModWiz, excellent to see you. We will be back next week with a special on the Hot Zone next Friday at 7:30 p.m. And with that, Miss Olivia, the last word is yours.
I'm going to start a diet. And so I'm going to tell you guys, it's spring, it's getting warmer, and it's time to eschew the pizza and have a salad. So sorry to say, it's salad time.
How about that iced limonada stuff? What is that? It's kind of like a lemon ice. That's pretty low calorie.
I'll have water with lemon. It's time for the spring cleaning. I invite everyone in the chat to join me.
You are going to be healthy and no fun.
I'm yes, exactly. I'm always fun. Now I'll be fun and healthy.
Fantastic. We will see you all next week. And it's been great having everyone here. And thanks so much. While we're in the new studio, better than the old studio, as they say.
Yeah, we'll fix the echo.
It has a little bit of a quality.
They say it's sort of spooky.
It's like a visit to Superstition Mountain. So it's great to see everyone out there. And I saw Deep State Kate out there as well. Fantastic to see you. Najat, excellent. We will see you all next week.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Lemon. Well, the water, ice sounds good.